Do you ever get a little down in life? Do you dream of that buff body but can't be bothered to actually do the work? Of course you do. We all hate ourselves a little bit. 30 minutes from now, you'll feel so comparatively intelligent, cultured and generally superior that you'll wonder why you ever worried at all. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our weekly podcast.
You are what you eat.
That would be a good podcast, wouldn't it?
I wish we'd called it that from the start. What would you be?
Well, part of me thinks I'd look like a Milky Way or a Milky Bar.
That's true, yeah.
But I'd probably be an oyster for obvious reasons. Or a ground down rhino horn. So,
why?
So
why?
Both aphrodisiacs, aren't they?
Anyway, I am David Flatman.
Yeah, you are, aren't you? And I'm Tom Shanklin.
Hiya, Tom.
All right, mate.
So we can't come from you from the Celtic Manor presidential suite this weekend. We've downgraded a bit. We're at a local, more humble abode in Bath, just outside.
Yeah, we're at a little boutique hotel.
We're not.
Called,
we're
Chateau, Chateau Flatman.
Yeah, it's not a hotel. It's a little
house. It is a hotel, and it's above 4-star because you have a gym. And full-time ground staff, who I walked in through the gates. There we are, through the car park, around the side of the hotel, and there was three gardeners full-time, cutting the grass with scissors and trimming the bushes with nail clippers. Because your fingers aren't quite as nimble as theirs.
No,
are they?
They're not. No. That's not true. I don't have a gym. I've got a squat rack in the garden, which my wife hates and thinks it makes us look ridiculous, which it does.
In a travel lodge, that's a gym, mate.
In a travel lodge, yeah. And we don't have ground staff. They happen to have come. I mean, you happen to have turned up on the one day, not even every month, probably every 6 weeks, that the gardeners come and do a bit of edging and a bit of tidying up because I'm not sufficiently diligent around the garden. So back off, yeah.
Not flexible enough around the garden.
Also not flexible. The asthma gets me. So you might hear a bit of background noise, which is the gardeners using my strimmer and blower. Just someone should use it, really. I've got the kit, don't really use it. You might also hear a bit of background noise, which is hopefully the giggling of Michelle Blair, who is our very close friend and technically our agent, but pretty much my PA. What would you say? Is your PA too?
Yeah, she is, basically. But I'm not box office like you, am I? I'm not wearing woolen
back office
tweed blazers and little shoes with tassels on with no socks.
I wear socks.
Mustard-coloured cords.
I don't go socks. There's only one prop in England who goes sockless, and that's Paul Doran Jones. I'm not at those sartorial levels. But Michelle is here. She's very, very special to us. And she often laughs at our jokes because she thinks we're funny, even if you don't. So what are we talking about, Tommy?
Well, we're going to touch on the Premiership results, the Aviva Premiership.
What great a great weekend.
It was really good, wasn't
really
it?
Good, yeah.
Some great games in the Pro 12 as well, which we're going to look at. We're going to look at the Chris Ashton ban.
Controversial.
It's actually quite hard to say Chris Ashton without sounding like James Bond.
It's not difficult for me. It's difficult for you, Harry Krishna Ashton. Yeah, controversial. Everyone else has put their two pennies worth in. I have 40 times already, but why not make it 41?
And it's taken me 5 years, but we've managed to get hold of my best mate in rugby.
Jamie Roberts, your best mate.
Yes.
Who this morning for the call we recorded wouldn't answer the phone to you, only answered when you used my mobile.
That's why I said we managed to. We're in this together, mate. Doesn't matter who calls him or who picks up to.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit awkward.
He picked up to us.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, we talked to him. He's a good guy. I hope you enjoy that. And we'll field a few questions from you. You've had quite a lot this week.
If you want to get in touch with us, go on Twitter, at Flats and Shanks. You can go on our website, which is flatsandshanks.com. Or just email us, contact@flatsandshanks.com. Very, very simple.
So, Tommy, the Pro 12. Of the action I watched, I thought Johnny Sexton was fabulous for Leinster.
Yes.
I'd have said, not that we're on Lions Watch yet, we're not, but let's talk about it anyway.
Yeah, we are.
6 months ago, 7 months ago, I'd have said Dan Biggar nailed on. Then I would have said maybe George Ford. Okay, it wasn't his best season, but he led England to some pretty... He moved England to some pretty significant victories, controlled them well. Now I would say Johnny Sexton would be working towards the forefront. He's really, really good form. But for me, the player in that Leinster team is Josh van der Fleer. He is something special, isn't he?
He was good. Scored two tries as well. And when you see his name, you think, is he a South African import that's come over? But no, he's not.
Isn't he?
No.
I thought he was.
No. Not according to Wikipedia.
Oh, right.
But
you're still the worst cap centre of all time for Wales on Wikipedia, aren't you?
Yeah. I am, but I'm not.
Keep it though.
Yeah, I'm also. I also created a coat of arms for Robin Hood in Ridley Scott's Robin Hood. Spice merchant, I've been.
Oh really?
Yeah. And importing different spices from around the world, and my favourite is cumin. And something to do with the character Kevin from the Minions was created on my look. So
yeah, what a varied life you've had. What else did you see in the Pro 12?
We saw Scarlets win their first game against Connaught. Connaught still yet to win last year's champion.
It?
Yeah, it's like the Leicester City curse, isn't
it? Yeah, it's weird. And it guts me a little bit because I enjoyed the Connaught story so much last season.
They had such a good season last season. It was always going to be tough to...
Yeah, but it's not necessarily tough to do the double and win it again, or back-to-back titles or whatever, but it's just maintain something like that level of performance.
It came from a shock from Connaught to win it. So it was just one of those years where everything went for him.
But it's almost second season syndrome, isn't it?
It is a little bit.
Everyone knows what's coming. How do you sustain it then, I guess?
Liam Williams, who you picked out last week, scored 2 tries.
Yeah, class.
Bang on form.
Class.
Will always feature with Wales. But yeah, Sexton was very good. I know you like him.
I do like him.
It's his surname you like most, isn't it?
Grow up. You're 36.
You.
He's got sex in his surname.
I tell you, the result that annoyed me a little bit was Treviso beating the Dragons.
Yeah, now you're quite, you've had a chirp on this podcast, and I've heard you before chirp about the fact that you want the Italian teams out because they haven't progressed, and then they beat the Dragons. So what say you now?
I effectively do want them. I'd rather not them be in the Pro 12 or the Six Nations, I feel. Because they just don't offer enough week in, week out. They're always down the bottom. They have the odd result where they win, and it just annoys me because all the teams in that league, I believe, are better than the Italian teams. But sometimes when you go to places in Italy and you play Treviso, you play Zebra, you're drawn down to their level. They certainly don't have the quality that most and all the other Pro 12 teams do have. Yeah. So it sort of justifies them being in that league with results like that.
Are you thinking that the odd victory victory like this papers over the cracks?
It does, and I feel the same way about the Six Nations. And I know Italy have featured in it for a long time now, I think since 2000. But they always have one sort of big result.
Every couple of years.
You know, England, I think, is the only team they haven't beaten. They've beaten Wales twice. But do they offer, year in, year out, enough competitive rugby? I don't think they do. You've seen what it's done to Argentina when they've entered the rugby championship and how they've come on as a nation. I don't think Italy have really made that.
I remember playing for Bath years ago and going, I think we went to play Ironi. Remember them? Yep. Ironi in Europe?
It's a beer, isn't it?
Yes, it turned out, yeah. So they kind of took a couple of teams, amalgamated or something like
That's Peroni, sorry.
Sorry, well done. And no problem, Mr. Moretti. And it's kind of, we won reasonably comfortably, but there was a point where we're thinking, we're not actually doing a job here, we're not actually managing this, and we should be winning this by 40 points. And it was bizarre how difficult it was to raise yourself for that game and perform.
Yeah.
And to be completely honest, and it is quite brutal, we approached that game before it, during and after it, as professionally as we could, but in my mind, it was just, do not get injured here, do not get injured, because it isn't worth it.
No.
It isn't worth it. And I'm not convinced that team's gone now, but I'm not convinced they've come on much since then.
I don't want to be harsh, but...
Too late for that, mate.
But you want the best, you want to be playing the best teams, you want tough competition, week in, week out. You don't want any easy games. You know, both those teams have been drummed in the first few games.
Yeah.
Ospreys hammered them. So...
So you're not happy with the Dragons, lads, that's what you're saying to
me? They are far better than that result.
Yeah, come on, lads, dig in, eh? Now, something I loved from the Pro 12 was CJ Stander playing for Munster with a player mic.
Yes.
On. I love that. And I always think it's a risky business, that, because I'm sure they can edit it out afterwards. But you don't hear him swear. And no. I wonder if he's a religious guy. And I don't know if he is or he isn't. I don't care if he is or isn't. But often the more sort of spiritual religious guys don't swear.
Mm.
You know, and that's a good thing. You don't have to apologise for their language on the TV and all that. Maybe he was a... kind of a safe bet, but I love the way he communicated with people. And he was, you know, at one point one of his teammates about to catch the ball, and he says, I'm here, mate, if you want me to carry, let me carry, just give it to me, and bangs it up.
Flat out conversation on the middle of a pitch,
could be in a pub, yeah,
because it's normally like a yes or no or left or right, I'm here, use me.
Yeah, he's usually screaming. He just had so much breath. I remember being exhausted every time I played. I couldn't have talked to anybody really constructively without my aspirin inhaler. Who would you put one on?
part of me wants to put one on Andy Powell when he was still playing, because I just think some of the stuff coming out of his mouth would be absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Use me, I'm fresh.
Yeah.
Let's have it.
Yeah.
Come on then.
Yeah.
He's the type of guy, he's not the type of guy, he was the guy that used to just warm up on the halfway line, bang on the halfway line and stretch and stuff. And I'd say, why are you doing that, mate? Because I just want to show him how big I am. He was a big bloke, but I would like to have one on Gethin Jenkins.
Yeah, he wouldn't be much fun. Like, not that it'd be funny, but he's so good.
He would be aggressive. You see the way he controls the game and controls the defence from prop.
So you're choosing him because it would be impressive rather than hilarious. Yes, is what I mean.
Yeah. I'm taking this very seriously.
Yeah, God,
And yourself?
I'd tend more to put it on someone angry. I guess a George Ford or an Owen Farrell would be interesting because they control in the game, but I quite like the idea of a Richard Wigglesworth or a Mike Brown. Just so, I would have said Chris Ashton actually, but just someone who kind of plays angry. You might have to beep it out and show it only, sort of play it after 9 p.m. Watershed or something. But I quite like it on someone angry, because CJ Stander is so good and so measured and kind of so relaxed.
Yeah.
It was almost shocking how relaxed he was, and he's still so good, and you think, oh, maybe that's the secret. But I quite like the super intense guys. Like, Richard Wigglesworth is just a lovely bloke off the field. On the field, he's properly angry and competitive. And
the reason I said Gethin Jenkins as well is because no one really knows what goes on in the front row unless you're a front row. So I'd love to hear some of the slating and some of the chat.
Do you know what, mate? It would be like this. Break. That's all it is. Break. That's all there is. There is no chat. I don't care what anyone says. There is no banter in the front row.
Really?
Occasionally when they stand up, they'll say, keep it up, keep him up. Stop diving, something, he's get his shoulder out. There is no, it's too hard now. There is no abuse. There used to be a little bit, but still not much. It was more physical abuse than verbal, to be honest. More, fingers in places they shouldn't be, around the sort of head and face area.
Gotcha.
Than there was chat. But anyway, we'll look at that. That is, have a good look at that. Have a Google, because it's very interesting.
So we mentioned Flats. It was a great weekend for the Aviva Premiership. Mm. What games were you at?
I went to Bristol Exeter.
Because I don't get to go to games like you. I have to watch them on TV.
Weird, eh?
Yeah.
I went to the Bristol Exeter game, and that was a really good game for about 45 minutes. Exeter got the bonus point pretty easily and then sort of drifted away a little bit, and Bristol improved their set piece. But ultimately, it was a kind of, it was a huge improvement, definite improvement from Bristol. Still got 40 points put on them, so it's pretty depressing.
It's worrying times for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Because we thought they were great, didn't we, against Harlequins, but we seem to be having the same conversation every week about them.
Yeah, they are battling. They're battling, and I don't know what you would change around there, but something. They're only playing Saracens this week, so they should be all right.
Yeah,
that's toughy. That's a real toughy. But I was at Tigers on Sunday.
What a game that
Leicester
was.
Bath. Brilliant game.
Loved it.
Bath started really well, actually, after some early Leicester pressure, but Leicester were just relentless, and they're back to the Leicester you kind of expect and hope to see at Welford Road. The atmosphere, I put it on Twitter actually, not often for sort of ex-pros like us does the atmosphere do much for us, because once you've been out in the middle, sitting in the stands just can't ever really deliver that excitement. It's just, we want to see it for the detail. You'd almost rather watch it on telly actually than sit in the stands, because you see more. But the atmosphere was absolutely brilliant. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And Tigers were fantastic. And Mike Williams, they're six. Back from injury, he is a machine. He's got to be an Eddie Jones EPS.
He did play well. I thought Beetham played very well.
Really good.
That's the best game I think I've seen him play.
Me too.
I know he plays sometimes 13, he sometimes plays 12, but I think at 13 he managed to get into those wide channels really well. Viano at 15, I think, is a far better option than having Matthew Tate there.
He was brilliant, wasn't he? Matthew Tate actually in patches played really nicely.
Yeah, he did. Great feet. Gets out of trouble a lot. Yeah. But Bath's tactical kicking game in the first half was brilliant from Ford. The chips, the grubbers.
Died though, didn't it?
It did. It did, because you can't, come second half, you can't score tries with kicks.
Yeah.
Give it, an up and under, which Rocco De Guini scored a great try. But
he is. Rocco De Guini was special, actually, I thought.
As soon as you get ball in hand, though, Leicester were just shutting Bath straight down.
Yeah, they really were. They struggled a bit with Rocco De Guini at times. Because did you think he was as good as I thought he was?
I thought he was very good. Just to look at him, though, everything about him sort of spells out power.
He's built
speed,
for it, isn't he?
Yeah. That try scored, taking the ball out of the air over JP Peterson's head.
Yeah.
And the pace to finish it off.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to be in the mix for England?
Yeah, I'd be Stunned is overstating. No, it's not. I'd be stunned if he's not in EPS. I think, you know, for them, ultimately, everybody thinks they're, you know, the winger who plays for their team should play, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of Bath supporters, because I live in Bath, people are always saying to me, you know, Rocco, why isn't Rocco in the team? But you've got to drop Watson, who also play, or you've got to drop Jack Noel.
Yeah.
And they're not easy guys to drop because they've both been playing.
Marlon Yard there as well.
Marlon Yard as well. There's loads of good wingers around. Perry Humphreys, who's come onto the scene with Worcester, looks really, really good already.
Scored another try at the weekend.
Scored another try, powerful guy. A result that really shocked me a bit, respectfully, was Gloucester losing at home to Newcastle.
Yes.
That's a big win on the road for Newcastle. And
just when we think Gloucester have turned the tides, you know, they've struggled the last quarter to close out games, and you think, well, they won last week. You know, are they going to continue this form? And
yeah, they managed the game. Laidlaw and Burns managed the game really well at Sale last weekend to win in a difficult place. And again, they just went away. And it's just, there's worrying times is overstating it, because they're always going to be all right. They've got too many good players to really have to worry. But, you know, they're being brutal about it. Newcastle ain't spending anything like the money on players.
No.
And staff and facilities and all that Gloucester are spending. There ain't no 400 grand a year players at Newcastle. So Gloucester should be winning those games. They should be winning those games reasonably comfortably. So there is some work to be done on, I think, psychologically there.
I'll tell you who I met for the first time last Wednesday. It was at the Under Armour Golf Day at the Celtic Manor. Was
other sports brands are available. Yeah. They just don't fit as well.
Was Ross Moriarty.
Oh yeah, nice
fella. Big bloke. Yeah, scored a great try at the weekend.
He is the best. He's Gloucester's best player by a mile at the moment.
He's like one of these players that could play six or I suppose 12. You know, powerful, dynamic,
runs
pace,
good lines.
Aggressive.
Maniac, actually.
Loves to carry the ball as well.
Yeah.
Good over. Like, he's got pretty much the whole game plan. He has to start, I think, for Wales.
Do you reckon?
Six. Yeah.
So over Tipperick or Lydiot, you'd have him. I mean, I know Tipperick would play seven and Warburton would play.
Yep. I think he's Wales' best six at the moment.
Yeah. That's sure. Interesting.
And another player, we just touched on Leicester, but Owen Williams.
Yeah.
Seems to be getting better and better.
Really good.
Yeah. There's quite a few tens around at the moment because obviously Priestland's at Bath.
Yeah.
Wales, you've got Dan Bigger, you've got Sam Davis, Rhys Patchell, but he sort of goes quietly about his business. No one really talks about him. But
well, he gets the odd knock, doesn't he? He misses a few weeks here or there, which drops you off the radar a bit. But he was really good against Bath. And not that he's Welsh, but Freddie Burns came off the bench and was class. His tactical kicking was beautiful when he came off the bench. So Leicester look, you know, from not performing brilliantly against Newcastle last weekend to be all of a sudden in a really, really good place.
Wasps continue their form as well.
Yep. Digging in on the road to Saints.
Yeah.
Really impressive. Really, really impressive. Danny Cipriani's sort of chip or grubber and chase. Grubber and pick up from near his own line. Outrageous. Guy Thompson to even get there to be the link player. Outrageous. What a season he's having. And Jimmy Coppeth wheels. Jimmy Coppeth stayed away from George North on that run-in.
He did.
Quick point.
George North found a bit of form now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems to be right back up there. Just that you want him in the game as much as possible, don't you? But then if you have him in the game too much, he's not on his wing to do his job.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. I don't think he's a winger come centre. I think best place for him, I know Wales try it sometimes in the centre, but that's mostly down to injury.
Yeah.
But he is an in and out winger.
Out and out as well.
No, in and out.
In and out winger. Yeah. He likes to go out.
Yeah. He cuts in and then goes out.
Exactly. Well, but he's interesting because, you know, he hasn't scored many tries at Franklin's Garden. I think that was his first try this weekend for a couple of seasons.
Because we spoke to him on the first podcast, I think.
Yeah, we got him going.
We've motivated him.
We've reinvigorated his career. But I think that it's interesting because he would be, if not the most heavily marked, one of the most heavily marked players in the Prem. So his presence will do more than just, you know, be a points machine and score tries and make yards and breaks. He will attract a lot of defenders.
Yeah.
You know, but you kind of want to bring him in the midfield because he's such a physical weapon.
But then you want him to finish tries
because he's such a good finisher.
Yeah, you know? He is. What I liked about Wasps though was we always expect Wasps to play like a real wide attacking game, a bit like Australia, but it was more of a roll your sleeves up, get dirty, big hits.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing I thought at the start of this season where they'd be lacking would be just a big bruiser in the midfield, someone who's just going to truck it up.
Like Chris Bell they had before.
Yeah, exactly like that. But they didn't seem to struggle at all.
No, and I think a lot of that's to do with the 12s they've got, so Gopeth and Kyle Eastman. They're not big, but they're physical.
Gopeth's looking fairly solid. He's not like a lightweight 10 or 12.
He's quite a big little
unit.
He's
compact, isn't he?
Yeah, and Kyle's smaller, therefore more compact. When he comes off the bench, he will occasionally get bounced off because he's small. But he hits hard. He makes a lot of aggressive tackles. And the reason he gets bounced off is because he doesn't grab he doesn't grab onto a jersey and hit the floor and to try and slow people down. He tries to collide. You know, he's a hard little bloke. So they're in good nick, I think.
We talked about wingers as well. What a try by Bassett.
Yeah. Oh, it's lovely.
If you watch a wide angle from where he comes from, he's just floating around on his wing. He just trying to get himself involved in the game. He sees the break. The kick goes through.
Get him in the England team. No other wingers about.
Yeah, none at all.
Congratulations.
Northampton, though, I don't think they can be too disappointed. I think they really showed up well. I think a lot of opportunities they had, which they didn't take at all.
But the thing is, that happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
You know,
it's easier to like dissect the game after, but there were plenty of 3v2s. There's plenty of space out there, which they just couldn't quite get the ball. Another positive thing, though, for Northampton is everything, nearly everything in attack came through Malander.
Yeah. Yeah. He's some player, isn't he?
Looking really good.
About 6'5", you know. Not that that's important, but he's a huge guy.
Yeah, but
when you see him, huge guy.
Yeah.
But he's and I like him at, I like him away from 10. I mean, I'm sure he, like Henry Slade, he might end up being a really good 10.
Yeah.
But I still think, you know, if you're the coach of that team, you put Stephen Myler at 10 because he runs that show nicely.
Mm.
He knows when to just dish the ball out to someone with a bit more speed or a Malander or whatever, and he knows when to.
Same as Exeter, isn't it? With Stenson. Yeah.
Just the same. And Stenson.
No, Stenson, we call
Stenson,
him.
Henrik.
Henrik
Gareth Stenson, yeah.
Yes.
Same thing. So if you're coaching that team, you'd probably pick the, although they're a safer bet, they're better for the team. And you, I reckon you're going to win more games with a guy like Myler at 10.
Quinn Saracens.
Amazing.
Didn't see that one coming.
Inspired. Standout player was your best mate, Jamie Roberts. His defence, ever since he came to Quinn's, I mean, I knew and watched him a load like everyone has, but I, until you watch him live repeatedly, his defence, you don't quite get a picture of how good he is in defence. Not just how good, how committed and physical he is.
He's near enough 7.5 stone, I reckon.
Yeah, and he hits like it.
You know, someone like me, for instance, would have to really go hard at someone to knock him down. He can just flop on him and make a massive hit because he is just so big and powerful.
Yeah. And he properly launches his body around and he's, you know, I don't care what they're paying him, but whatever they're paying him, he's giving them value.
I always think it's down to what he listens to pre-match, because I remember we're playing for Wales and we're playing New Zealand and in the change room before game, like Gethin Jenkins always used to put on like some deep house, or some dance,
he loves
some
that,
R&B. Yeah. And Jamie listened to his earphones and I could hear something and it wasn't like a fast beat, it wasn't loud, and I just pulled one out, put it in my ear, and it was Vanessa Carlton, 1,000 miles. You know the song, you know the song from White Chicks.
Yeah.
And I said, mate, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just chilling out. Anyway, we went out to lose that game.
Thanks, Jamie.
Yeah, which
the All Blacks
I put down to him.
The All Blacks ain't listening to that.
63 years we hadn't beaten New Zealand.
Thanks, Jamie.
Yeah,
I remember being on the bus. You were there. We were playing for Saracens late 90s or whatever it was against Leicester on the way to Welford Road, and everyone was a bit nervous and all that. And Kieran Bracken was sitting there with his headphones in, and someone asked him a question from the front of the bus. So he took his headphones out to answer them and put them on the table. I picked one up, and he was listening to Enrique Iglesias, "I Could Be Your Hero." I said, mate, what are you doing? I was like 18 years old. What are you playing at? He's like, well, get off. He was genuinely embarrassed about it.
He's probably thinking that's actually him, the hero.
I could be your hero, mum.
But Quince started off really well with Visser intercept try.
Yeah, really nice.
If Lazowski holds on to that ball, though, it's potentially a try.
Oh, yeah,
for,
it's a big gamble.
For Saracens.
Gamble,
it's a huge, huge gamble. But
their second try was less opportunistic. It was class. That pass from Tim Sweel was just beautiful hands, really ambitious pass. I thought Quins were great. They were a good value for that win. And Marrow's lost his first game in, 76 years.
Yeah, I don't think Saracens will be too disappointed. They'll take whatever positives they can.
Yeah, get over
under the carpet.
Mate, they got 60 put on them by Wasps last season and they did all right in the end, didn't they? So I think they'll be just fine. But Quins were great. I mean, hope for their point of view, they've turned a bit of a corner there because it wasn't the greatest first couple of weeks, but they look really good. Really good this weekend. So we haven't talked about Chris Ashton yet. Are you happy with 13 weeks?
I've seen it.
I should hope so. Are you happy with 13 weeks?
What I haven't seen is the bite on Rick Waller's arm.
Alex Waller.
That's the one. I knew it was a Waller. Whatever happened to him?
Oh, I miss him. Anyway.
Well, he was great on Pop Idol.
He was, yeah. Are you happy?
I think it's about right.
Okay.
I would like to have seen the injury and how bad it was to see,
yeah,
you know, what was a chunk taken out? Was it just a little tooth mark on there? But 13 weeks seems it's pleasing. Right. Well, it's not pleasing, but it seems right.
Yeah, I thought he's got off all right sufficiently lightly that I'm not surprised they're not challenging it or appealing it, actually. But
do you think that's down to the fact they know each other well? Or
maybe that mitigated it a bit. I think it's the sort of thing that when it's this high profile, you know, you need to be fair to the player, but you also need to make an example of him or her because everyone's watching.
And it's not his first time he's been in trouble, Ash.
No, it's not. But I feel like someone needs to sort of help him with his red mist because I've said this 100 times and it's, you know, it's kind of irrelevant. But he's such a nice bloke. But he gets on that field and, you know, he just seems to lose the plot a little bit sometimes.
You know? What are you going to do though, if I come over this table now at you, and I put my forearm in your mouth?
I'll bite your nose off. Sorry, it just came out. It just came out.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like Rick Waller had
goes in my mouth, and it said it's just food. Alex Waller.
Yeah, I know.
Alex Waller. All right.
I know.
I think it's difficult, and you know, I had an incident as a younger player where we don't have to go into details and be retrospectively prosecuted, but I had an incident where a prop I was playing against, particularly aggressive guy, was fish hooking me in the mouth, and he ripped all the inside of my gum and ended up with infection of my gum and that sort of stuff because his fingernails. And
that's where the halitosis comes from.
That's where it comes from. That's where it comes infection. From. And you know, it was a long time ago, so it's a different world then, really. But yeah. I remember saying to the ref,
and there probably would have been the cameras around.
Yeah, and I said, if you don't sort this out, I'm going to sort it out. And
I am going to go mental.
I'm going to go absolutely mad on this guy. You wait for it. And I didn't go mad on him, but I in the end took a physical objection to him trying to rip the inside of my mouth apart. You know, I had stitches in my gum and all sort after the game. So that's slightly different, but it cannot be allowed. You cannot be allowed to bite. So I guess it is what it is. Long enough.
So believe it or not, Davey, we've had some questions.
Okay. Shoot.
This is from Nick Matthews at Nicky Flyer. I'd love to meet you one day, Flats. You seem one heck of a nice fella. Fella? Hashtag banter.
Is he from Texas? One heck of a nice fella.
He's from Flantrisson.
Was that the deep south?
I've never ever heard him speak like that at all.
I think he's a new mate, actually.
So we've had a question here from Phil Deschamps.
Oh, yeah.
Phil Deschamps, yeah. Flats, who is the hardest hooker you've ever come across and why? And I think that's rugby related.
Got it.
I know.
All right, mate.
Actually, we can make it whatever. Whatever story is funnier.
Okay, fine. Hardest hooker, I'll stick to...
what was her name?
Garen Jenkins. Oh, right. Playing against Garen Jenkins. I think he played for Swansea, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And we played like a pre-season game, or it might be a European game, whatever, and hearing this screaming coming from their changing room. And it was proper, like screaming, like someone was getting hurt, right?
Yeah, okay.
And the kit man walked out, and I knew the kit man from England schools days, Wales school days. I was like, all right, mate, what's going on there? He said, oh, that's Garen. And he goes, go and have a look. There's no one else in there. So I walked around the away changing rooms at Watford, at Vicarage Road, and he was in the shower, and he had I seem to remember having socks on, but not his match socks, and a pair of underpants, nothing else. He's in the shower, and he's taking it from boiling hot to freezing cold. He's like, warming up for this game. We're like, oh my God, absolute nut job. And then another Welsh hooker, Robbie McBride, playing against Wales A at the Rec. Our hooker was Mark Regan, who's, you know, just gobby beyond belief. McBride, not gobby at all.
No.
And
he won like the strongest man in Wales or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. So Ronnie sort of gobbed off a bit, and Robin McBride just straight in with the uppercuts, no messing around, you know. And there was a bit of a scuffle. And remember Robin McBride said to him, we were going down for a scrum. And he said, I'll see you after to Ronnie. I remember looking at Ronnie, and Ronnie's like, what's he want? Fight or a snog? Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Just go back to Swansea. Obviously, Garen Jenkins played there.
Yeah.
John Thomas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What'd you call me? Oh, sorry. Yeah.
He's played for the Ospreys, Worcester. He's now coaching.
Bristol coach, yeah.
Bristol coach. He was telling us about his first ever game for Swansea, and he said he's a little bit nervous, and he said he had a bit of a dodgy quad. He'd like tweaked it in training and stuff. And, you know, we're like in a change room. There's obviously some people going mad, like Garen Jenkins would be going mad. And he was just sort of wandering around, not knowing what to do. And he thought he'd do a couple of jumps just to test his quad. He jumps up under a door frame, cuts his head, misses the start of a game because he's got to have stitches, and then goes on about 10-15 minutes later because he's got a slight concussion.
Were you at Sarri's with me when Rob Thirlby was there? Yeah. Rob Thirlby.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were on the bench against Richmond. That's how long ago it was. So we weren't playing. You might have been playing on the bench, whatever. And I was on the bench, so was Thirls, and we were passing the ball to each other. And I was trying to do like reverse passes like Kieran Bracken used to do, and I couldn't do them because I had no skill. And it was obvious that I couldn't do them, and I was mucking around. And Rob Thirlby, because I was like, "You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Where are your hands? Look at where your hands are. You haven't got a clue." I was like, "I'm going to nail that prick." So anyway, he's playing this ball. He's just chucking the ball really high in the air, or kicking at the air. And yeah. He's a good bloke, by the way, but you know, I wanted to nail him anyway. And he was practicing taking high balls. So I thought, I'll just chuck a ball towards a gentleman's area from about 15 yards away. So quite a long distance for me, 15, 20 yards. So I rifled the ball at him. He came back down. It smashed him in the nose. Claret everywhere. Couldn't play.
No way.
Like, ruled him out of the game. He was in bits, mate, on the floor. Knees went the lot.
Do you remember John Rudd?
Ruddy. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
He used
to
play winger. He was like an ex-sprinter.
Big unit.
I think was it Alan Zonder? Was coaching Saracens at the time.
Alan Zonder.
Yeah. So John Rudd, he wasn't the great. He was an ex-athlete more than anything. So catching and passing didn't come naturally to him. And one day after training, do you remember, we were all watching him, and I think it might have been Thomas Castanier was putting high balls up on him.
Yeah.
And he just could not take one in front of everyone. He kept dropping them all the time, and we were all going, "Whoa!"
smashing his confidence. Like,
yeah, pretty key for a winger to be able to do. But there we are. There we are. Some more questions.
So they were kind of anecdotes about life, and then you just basically mock someone for not being very good. Who have you become, mate?
Huh?
Who have you become? Poor old Ruddy. I quite like Ruddy. Here's a question for you now, Shanks.
Sorry.
Angus McIntosh sent this.
Yep.
How have we got to the stage when retrieving a high ball whereby whoever jumps the highest gets the other player penalised? Are we there now?
You see, Dave, I was leading you into this question.
Well done.
Yes.
Well done. Brilliantly. Seamless.
We talked about this before, didn't we? We said it, you know, it's the new... Well, it was last year's real big issue about players falling safely on the floor. I don't think it's whoever jumps the highest. I think if two genuine contests are in the air, both players are off the ground, both are looking at the ball, then, you know, whichever way you land is just part and parcel of the game. I think the issue comes when players aren't looking at what the opposition player is doing. So a classic example would be Ian Whitten for Chiefs against Bristol. Looking at the ball but does not go off the ground. I can't remember who catches the ball.
Might have been Jordan Williams, a fullback, I think.
Might have been. But anyway, he falls down, lands on his back. Actually, he's all right. He gets back up. But you have to go off the ground. You have to be aware of what's around you. You have to have a duty of care for, you know, whoever you're jumping against. You know, if two people go up in the air, both going for the ball, they land awkwardly.
And if you...
Nothing wrong with
if
that.
If you stay on the ground under a high ball, you better be in a lot of space and be confident that no one around you is going to be in the air.
That's the thing. You have to be aware of people around you. You can tell when someone's charging down on you. So you know you need to get off the ground.
Yeah.
Gone are the days now where you can just keep an eye on the ball, stay on the ground, and expect to get away with it. If someone jumps in the air and they land awkwardly, then you're going to be yellow or red carded.
Right, question from Jason Monday. What more has Danny Cipriani got to do to get in the England squad?
It's a good question, that, isn't it?
He's
playing very well at the moment. Unfortunately, though, he's against a partnership that just is working at the moment. I don't know if you can hear, but there's a... Do you get police around here, do you?
That won't be police around here, mate. That'll be...
Someone's stolen a push bike from the village. Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know. Someone's stolen some whiskers off the village cat or something.
A chicken's gone missing from Dairy Farm.
Yeah.
Quick.
Escaped cow. Everyone panic. There has never been a crime here. So, Cipriani, what's he got to do? I can't see what else he can do, really.
I think he has to wait for an injury.
Yeah, keep doing it. Yeah.
You know, with Farrell and Ford, that partnership works. I think that'll be the partnership going into the autumn campaign and, you know, probably the Six Nations. I think you know it's like you're waiting in the wings. It's like a young player who hasn't been capped. You're just waiting, buying your time. An injury will occur, and then you've got a chance then, and you've got to do what you can do to keep that jersey.
Yeah,
mate. We'll go with one last question now. It's from at Allied Hire BCT Brett Thompson.
I know Brett.
Do you?
Yeah, Brett lent me a digger actually and a dumper. Yeah, good boy.
For what?
Good boy. Well, I had some stuff to do in the garden, and I actually.
Burying bodies again, were you?
Bodies, yeah. Protein. I actually ruined it and had to get someone else to fix the work I'd done. But there you are. Let me a digger.
Anyway, he wants to know how long before the prodigal son, Leroy Houston, is offered a long-term contract?
Yeah, down at Bath. They'd give him a long-term contract tomorrow, I would have thought. Easy for me to say. But I think he might be contracted to the Queensland Reds, so might have to go back at the end of the season,
right,
complete another season there, at which point he might come back. So I know he loves Bath and they love him.
But then you've also got Dave Denton and Toby Faletau both fit.
Yeah, they will. They will, and there'll be decisions to make. But I think that Leroy is a player who has... I don't think he's ever had a bad game for Bath. He's that consistent. But he's also a massive favourite, and the players love him, the coaches love him, the fans seem to love him. So I expect that there's a long-term contract waiting for him as soon as he can sign it. Now, some people in life just seem to have it all. The fame, the fortune, the brains, the success, the looks, the physique. And it's quite difficult not to resent them for that.
Disgusting.
Anyway, here is our chat with Jamie Roberts.
Hello, Jamie. How are you?
How are you doing, mate? Good to speak to you, man.
Good man. Bit of a slow start for Harlequins this season, but you somehow managed to turn it around on the weekend, and what a result against Saracens.
Yeah, like an awesome result. I think we started the season, we had Bristol first up at Twickenham, and we almost blew that when Bristol obviously fresh into the Premiership and shut everything out. So we were quite lucky to win that game. Then obviously we went up to Sale and Exeter and lost both of those. So the pressure was on this weekend to win at home, our first home game at the Stoop, and the boys really fronted up. You know, it wasn't a pretty game at all. It never really is when you play Saris. You just have to front up and limit their opportunities, and their defence is really important, which, you know, our defence is fantastic Saturday. So it was a great win.
Jamie, what I want to know about that victory against Saris in particular was it just a case of everything you talked about just came together and it was kind of, it'll be all right in the night, and it was? Or was there a special kind of meeting you had, or a special chat, or were you extra motivated for this? Because you did actually objectively look like a different side on Saturday against Saris than you have done for the first three rounds. So was that a conscious shift, or did it just click?
A bit of both. I think we're a far more difficult team to beat when we're a bit more pragmatic with the ball. And, you know, with Quinns, classically been a team. I came here last year, we were playing sevens a lot of the time. You love to play from deep, love to play from halfway. And when you're up against good defences, you can't do that more often than not. The more risky a game plan you play, it just, you know, it's rugby suicide. So we spoke about Saris, you know, how solid they are in D, and just limiting their turnover opportunities, the set piece opportunities, and just coming off the line in D. You know, you can't let them play with the players they've got and the muscle they've got up front. You can't let them get on the front foot because it causes all sorts of problems. So, you know, the pack were outstanding. Our set piece was 100% better than it has been over the first few weeks. And just really exciting, really. It was a good buzz about the lads after the game, and hopefully it needs to be a platform now moving forward. We've got Worcester away next week, so another big challenge.
Yeah. You seem to adopted that Will Griggs on Fire song, haven't you, for celebrating after matches?
Yeah, I'm not sure who posted that. I couldn't see you singing.
But anyway, it must have been quite difficult as well. At the start of the game, Marler takes a massive knock, doesn't he, and goes off the pitch. But then Tim Visser score an intercept try. It just shows you your line speed come off the line against Quinns, against Saracens. I mean, 7 points with an intercept try is a dream start, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a dream start. And like the big thing about that, I think, is coming off the line when teams are playing for the middle of the park as well, because it's very easy when teams like to get to the middle of the field. They'll play both sides and hope that you push and defence, and they can eat up easily 10, 20 metres around the fringes. And when your wingers defend flat, it's tough to play around them. And you know, this is an experienced player, and he picked off really nicely. And, you know, we were 17-0 left going into half time, which was, you know, we weren't expecting, but it can happen pretty quickly. And, you know, we defended our lead well second half.
Are you defensively there, Jamie? Are you talking about it's much easier to fly up and get up and at the, you know, sort of blitz defence almost when you're defending a wide breakdown? But what you're talking about is having the fitness and, I guess, the defensive courage to get off the line really, really quick, even in a midfield breakdown where the opposition effectively have double the options.
Yeah, exactly. And you usually one or two numbers down as well, you know, because of players in the ruck and how many players have been in the backfield as well. And It's risky, and it's certainly, you know, having played with Shanks in Wales, it's some in Wales do quite religiously, really, is being able to blitz both sides of breakdown when the breakdown is in the middle of the park. But it's as I said, you know, you then give opportunities to teams to kick, you know, to put the ball through, and it can be quite risky. But you know, if you do it and do it well, and teams try to play wide against it, you can turn defence into attack, really, and you know, hopefully get some good turn of the ball as well.
Not many people know this, Jane, but obviously you started off as a 15 or a winger. In your career for Cardiff Blues,
a greyhound at the back.
Wales. I mean, what was the conversation you had with Gatland to bring you into the centre? Because obviously that accelerated, I think, your career and decelerated mine.
he's not bitter about this. He didn't want to call you. Put it that way.
Not bothered at all.
Yeah, I'll never forget, mate. It was on a tour in South Africa and. We played the first test, I think, on the Highveld, wasn't it? It was in Bloemfontein, the first test, and we lost by, you know, about 30-40 points.
The narrow one.
The narrow one. That was the one I scored, mate. I scored. Rob Harvey gave me a telling off for celebrating.
Yeah, I was joking. carry on.
But then, during that week, before the second test in Loftus, I always remember Sean Edwards sat me down on like a Tuesday in front of the video analysis computers. I was like, Jamie, you ever played 12? And I was like, right, I played like under 15s at Cardiff Schools, like back in the day, but since then I've played on the wing and at fullback. And so I was thinking of putting me at 12s again. And it was against the World Champs at Loftus. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, this is just crazy stuff. But I loved it. I loved it, you know, from training then. Played with you, mate. Didn't I? Played with you in Loftus.
Second test, didn't he?
It was a great move for you and for Wales. It was really unfortunate and a little bit awkward that it signalled sort of the beginning of the end for Shanks. But that try you scored, do you remember that, Shanks? Was it half decent?
It was the first test, wasn't it? You were 15. And I can't remember. I think it might have been Sonny Parker might have put you into the corner and you did this massive dive, obviously because it's your first ever try for Wales and you're pretty excited. But I always remember in the debrief the day after and Rob Howley picked you out and said, you know, mate, what are you doing? Why are you doing a big dive like that? You know, we're 20 points down. And he pointed, he pointed over at me and said, only that man there, he's the only one that's allowed a dive like that. And I thought, oh, thanks, Rob. But it was actually Shane Williams sat behind me. But I suppose now you're allowed to.
No, I wouldn't dive like that now. It was a shocking dive anyway. I got my ankles all wrong.
I want to ask you something sort of bouncing back to the domestic rugby piece. There's kind of a lazy assumption from people like me, sort of premiership players and ex-premiership players, that you guys in the Pro 12, and I'm aware you've come to England via France, but you guys in the Pro 12, you kind of the bigger international players, just don't have to play that much and you can rest up and you can be a bit more selfish with your preparation, and it's not this relentless week in, week out fight that we have in the Premiership, and we all feel a bit superior about that. But as an established Premiership player now, do you feel like the workload is huge and is kind of shocking to you physically, or were we always wrong about all this and it's completely normal to you?
It's a good question, mate. And I think the league this year in the Premiership is probably the most competitive league that I've played in, and that includes the Pro 12 and France. There is no, I think any team can beat any team on a day, and you know, that's no exaggeration. Like, you know, when you're playing in the Pro 12, the Italian sides, I don't think have punched their weight at all. Certainly over the last few seasons, and I think as squads, you knew you could rotate your players against the Italian side, so that, you know, you'd always have a few international lads resting when you come across Zebra, Treviso at home, those sorts of sides. And for the lads, you know, who are playing week in, week out, those weeks, you kind of knew beforehand, Shanks, so you probably wouldn't play your Zebra at home because they'd rotate the squad. You'd expect your squad players to play in that squad and still win.
Oh, no, I had to play in those games because of you.
Shaq, they made him captain, though, to make soften the blow, you know.
Chuck you on the wing, mate. And then, yeah, in the Prem, like, I mean, yeah, we've gone, the last 4 weeks, we played up at Sale, playing Exeter away, playing, obviously, Surrey's at home, we've gone up to Wasps next weekend, then we've got Northampton at home. And they're all extremely tough games. And unless you've got your best players on the park, you're not going to win those games. Mm. So, you know, the coach, you have to put your strongest team more or less week in, week out. And that, more often than not, includes your international players. So, yeah, there's a pressure there. But then the other side of the argument is that come international time, you're battle hardened and you're ready for it. You're up to the pace and near enough as possible for Test rugby, and anybody is used to the hits, and you're more prepared for it.
Yeah, how worried are you now about international rugby, mate? Because obviously Gatland's Law has come in. There's three wildcard picks. I would assume it'd be yourself, George, and Toby. Is that something you now really have to start considering come next contract signing?
Yeah, I think it is. Obviously they can pick three this year, and they've released the seven players who are available for that. So I suppose there's more pressure now than ever to keep the performances high and make sure you're in the selectors' minds to get picked for the autumn series and the Six Nations. So that's important. I know next year there's four wildcard picks, and then it goes down to two. So. Yeah. And I've got another year at Quinn's next year, and it's a big decision, really. I'll be 31 then, probably, hopefully, not my last contract, but it might be with age. So
yeah, I thought you were a bit older.
It's a difficult choice.
Yeah. Are you only 31?
Amazing. My what?
Are you only 31?
No, I'm 29. I'm
39. Sorry. Sorry, mate. I want to take you back to sort of the early days when you're sort of there or thereabouts. With Cardiff, there or thereabouts, with Wales, you're playing a bit of wing and fullback, you move to centre. I just want to know who, because every young player needs a role model, who did you look up to? Of course, Di Young was involved, but he was tight head props.
Yeah, Di Young was my coach. Yeah, he was. There's a few people. There's Jamie Robinson, who was a great 13, kind of had the pace, hands, silky running skills.
Yeah,
Kisa Lolala.
Yeah,
13
yeah.
As well. Good player, got to play quite a bit alongside him. I learned a hell of a lot from him, actually.
Who would it be, sort of, I suppose, internationally as well, though, because those two are both club players?
anyone that sort of played near with you at club and then close to you at international level that you really looked up to as kind of a mentor slash hero?
Maybe a little bit older. Maybe just a little bit older than
you. No one's coming to mind, are they, Jamie?
Gav Henson.
Yeah, Gav, that's it. Gav Henson. Yeah, I think that's right. Now, I've heard on the grapevine from my mate Tom, tells me that you've had your wheels nicked on your car three times while living in Wandsworth. Is that true?
Your C-class.
Twice. I moved to Wandsworth. It was a proper welcome to London, mate. Probably not my finest hour. I moved to a flat in Wandsworth, and I joined one of those new CLS Mercs, which are quite low lying to the ground. They're still quite low on the road.
Yeah.
And I woke up about 2 weeks after having it, and the car was on a brick. The passenger wheel's gone. it was on one brick. Like, they literally put one brick on its end and took the wheels off it. I got them on insurance, and then 5 weeks later, they did exactly the same again. Yeah. So I've now got five locking wheel nuts on every wheel.
So, I mean, firstly, mate, I'm completely neutral, but get a Land Rover because people obviously respect you so much more. But I think it's unusual that someone, I imagine you left Wales to escape crime, didn't you? And you come to London. It's unbelievable. You wouldn't imagine it, would you?
Mate, the ironic thing is, your car probably would have been safer in Canton than it is in Wandsworth.
Where's Canton?
Where you used to live.
Is that the posh bit?
Yeah.
Is it posh, Jamie?
Yeah, posh, but a bit posh in Cardiff. It's a bit of a nightmare now if I get a puncture.
Do you think it's got anything to do with the fact that it's got Jamie Roberts, Harlequins and Wales on the side? Can't believe you had that put on. They don't make you do that anymore. Right, one last question for you, Jamie, and it's the most important one of the lot. Tell us about if you can think of one on the spot, your favourite book of all time.
That's a good question. I mean, Shanks has given me a lot of, not too much advice on the rugby pitch growing up during my career. But off it, he's been fantastic. He's a role model to me. He taught me how to live my life properly. And he told me about this book, which changed his life. and managed to, you know, get him on track with women. It's called The Game by Neil Strauss.
Oh, yeah.
It played such an important part in my life then, and I'm forever grateful for Shanks for, you know, hooking me up with that one.
Yeah, he said he was a consultant on that, the writing of that.
Game Changers is when
it's his alias, Neil Strauss. Maybe he is.
That's it. Look it up, people. The Game, Tom Shanklin's Bible. He's got a worn copy in the glove box of his car.
I've never read it.
I'm a real boy.
Anyway, mate, thanks so much for that. We're off air now, so
enjoyed that.
Yeah. What are you up to next week? Because I am down in London and hello. Okay.
He's gone, mate.
So anyway, that was my BFF, Jamie Roberts.
Yeah.
Love him. Always does so much for charity. Always. Well, he's a doctor, isn't he? So,
yeah, they love this gift, don't they?
Yeah. Does a lot for prostate charity, offers free checks. And bearing in mind now, his gloves ran out 18 months ago. So. But does it for the love. That's podcast 4 done.
It's done. I loved it. Did you, Tommy?
Mate, I tell you what I did love.
What?
That baguette you got.
Is it right, wasn't it?
Tell me what was in it again.
It's from a little place called Intermezzo in a town near me. There's Swiss cheese, bacon, chicken, salad, ranch dressing, jalapenos, granary bread.
Granary wholemeal bread.
Oh, I don't know where I put it.
So it's fine. No.
Michelle, do you enjoy yours?
Yep.
Bloody loved it, didn't she? Love that.
Might use your gym now. Is it right if I use your gym?
I'll have someone wipe it down for you. Hang on.
Yeah. Perfect. But anyway, thanks for listening. Don't forget to contact us. Ask us any questions you want. We'll try and bring them up as best we can. On Twitter, at Flats and Shanks. You can go on our website, which is flatsandshanks.com, or just email us, contact@flatsandshanks.
Do that. Or Facebook. Well done, Michelle. Thank you very much.
That's why she's here.
It's one of the reasons she's here. That'll do. All right. Ta-da.
Goodbye.